Good afternoon, little children. It's April 24th, 2023. The time is 15:09 hours. This song is from the album A Kind of Hush, 1976. The song is written by Richard Carpenter, and the vocal is done by his younger sister, Karen. The song is called I Need to Be in Love. Karen Carpenter was a very talented drummer, and she's far better known for her singing, and unfortunately she died 6 years after this recording was released of anorexia. She died, and that's a whole other story. It's a big story, that one. Our study for today, little children, from the article Wild Road Ahead to History, Part 1, is Chapter 7, Paragraph 8, I believe. It may be noted by a study of Mr. Forster's Harmony of Alphabets that many of the letters from the old Arabic alphabet used in the Sinaitic inscriptions resemble closely the modern Hebrew alphabet, there being also what looked to be variant or stylized forms of the same letters. That would be this document here. So here we have, for example, Daleth, the Hebrew letter Daleth, equivalent to the Roman letter or English letter D. We see here we have some other forms of it shown in the alphabet of the Sinaitic inscriptions, which is the column on the right side here. And it's somewhat like, is that the same as the Greek letter gamma? Or am I thinking, is it the mirror image of it? I can't remember offhand if that's the same or the mirror image. But anyway, it's got an upright vertical stroke. And in the case of the letter Daleth, there is a horizontal stroke beginning to the left and connecting with the vertical stroke at the top of that stroke. So it extends from the top to the left, in other words. It's a simple character, like the number 7 in shape in the Arabic numerals, for example. It would be very similar to that. That's just one example, but there are other forms of that letter Daleth. That's the form that appears in Hebrew. The Arabic form is different. It would be a rotated and reflected form. It's not the same form. It's upside down, and it's not merely a rotation. It's a mirror image. And then if you have, but it's also modified in other ways. It's got some curves or extra extensions, in the case of one extension at least. And it also looks like the letter J in one form. But we have, for the variant forms in the Sinaitic alphabet, we have that letter J also. We also have, or what looks like a small letter J. We also have a character that looks like the Greek letter gamma, the small letter gamma, not the capital. And it is similar to gamma, isn't it? But it's like gamma, but it's upside down also. So it's not, and gamma is a stroke that begins in the upper left, curves down, it goes to the right and curves downward, and then it makes a loop at the bottom and comes up curving to the right. So it's symmetrical almost in this case, but this letter is not exactly vertical. It's not exactly upside down in its form. It's, the loop is to the left of the top center, so it's rotated. And then there's a letter like our modern day letter D also, which appears either rotated or upright, as another variant form of the letter Daleth in the Sinaitic alphabet. Some of the letter shapes are identical to the Hebrew. The presence of pictorial elements in the same passage, this is important, together with Egyptian hieroglyphics. So there are actually pictorial elements, in other words, drawings in the rock. They actually drew pictures of what was really being talked about. The artwork was done in the shapes of the actual events, and graphic art, not just language but artwork, pictorial elements. And it says it's not known here in this. It's together with Egyptian hieroglyphics, and that is in the Sinaitic inscriptions, but it's not known from Egyptian inscriptions. This is fascinating. Yet it's because it's seen to be consistent in the Sinaitic inscriptions with the Israelites having sojourned in Egypt. Because where would they have gotten the learning about the Egyptian hieroglyphics if they had not been in Egypt, on the one hand, and on the other hand, the idea that the Egyptian hieroglyphics did not use these pictorial elements is also consistent with the Israelites, because they were not Egyptians. They weren't native Egyptians. Generally, there appears to be nothing to disprove the Jewish authorship. And perhaps the Jews were making these pictorial elements to help people who didn't understand the hieroglyphics. That's very possible. And generally, there appears to be nothing to disprove the Jewish authorship of the Sinaitic inscriptions. Thus, their presence, that is, the presence of the inscriptions, is the strongest possible proof of Israel's presence in and the exodus from Egypt. The perfect identity of the alphabet of the Sinaitic inscriptions with a combination of Hebrew and Old Arabic is not the best proof of their Israelite nature. That's an astounding sentence that I wrote there. I did not believe that was the best proof. Because, of course, it's not. Because just because the alphabet of the Sinaitic inscriptions was a perfect combination of Hebrew and Old Arabic, just because that satisfies the identity of what those inscriptions used for an alphabet, that would not prove that these were the Israelites. I mean, it certainly has a strong element of proof. It certainly proves it to some extent. But the content, rather, of the thousands of these inscriptions is the best proof, because the content that we're going to be reading about in later paragraphs that we discuss here, hopefully, they will be done soon in this chapter. We'll be reading about the content of these inscriptions. What they'll be, perhaps, is it only here? I'm not sure if it's only in this chapter either, or if they will extend beyond this. But the content of these inscriptions will prove that it was the Israelites. Because, since they are deciphered alongside pictorial, unified engravings. So that's why the best proof is going to be the content. But these inscriptions confirm, this is the most important part of it, they confirm the Bible tales they relate. And it's confirmed because we also have the pictorial elements of these inscriptions. We've got pictures as well as words, in case there's any doubt about the words. The proof we presented above dates the same, and here we have this italic phrase, Sinaitic inscriptions greatly noteworthy and truly underscoring realized Exodus, which is an acronym for the word signature. While non-contradictory content is necessary, but not sufficient with no date in itself. In other words, that one's a little more subtle, that comment. Just because the content of these inscriptions doesn't contradict the Bible and the story of the Exodus, that wouldn't prove anything, because they could have been written or made much later in time. These inscriptions could have been made at any time talking about the Exodus. It wouldn't prove that they were made by the Israelites as they left Egypt. Even though that's necessary that it not contradict the story of the Exodus, it's not sufficient to prove that it was the Israelites during the Exodus, because it's not given a date. There's no date in those stories, or in the non-contradictory evidence or content. There's no date. And if there's no date with it, it wouldn't prove it. But the inscriptions themselves are in locations extremely, also, I should say, the inscriptions themselves are in locations extremely difficult to reach. the access to which would be quite assuredly unlikely to be attempted by casual pilgrims, although, of course, anybody could climb up a sheer rock face and make an inscription. It's not entirely impossible, but it certainly makes it more unlikely that these inscriptions were made by casual pilgrims. It's more evidence in favor of these inscriptions having been made by the Israelites, who did not want anyone to be able to erase these inscriptions easily. And so we have, or to even be able to get access to them easily. But that's the end of this paragraph. And there's an awful lot of ideas there in this paragraph, or at least food for thought in this paragraph. There are pictorial elements in these inscriptions. And we have at least 6 new videos on the JW.org site that you might want to check out. They're all very worthwhile and extremely interesting. So I will be trying to figure out what else I can say here. We will be moving to the Bible study in a moment. I'm trying to get back in the mindset that I had when I wrote this, but I've prepared this, and I don't know if there's more that I should say, but I think that the subsequent paragraphs will explain it. The point is that it's a signature. That's the point in this paragraph. The Sinaitic inscription is greatly noteworthy and truly underscoring realized Exodus are a signature that says we are the Israelites and we are on our way out of Egypt, and that's proven by the fact that the Hebrew alphabet and the Old Arabic alphabet combined completely make up the content of the alphabet of these inscriptions. And they're accompanied by carved pictures or pictorial content that depicts the events described in the language used in the inscriptions. And that wasn't something done by Egyptians. Egyptians didn't use graphic art in their writing, not that we know of at all. So that's not an Egyptian characteristic, even though there were hieroglyphics. See, found. Where do we mention the hieroglyphic? Right. In the same passage. There were pictorial elements in the same passage together with Egyptian hieroglyphics. Right. So they used some Egyptian hieroglyphics in the inscriptions as well. I know there's at least a few very interesting examples. I mean, classic examples of some of these pictorial representations and the Egyptian hieroglyphics, but I think we'll have to get into that later on, because these inscriptions are wonderful and very many in number. But the best examples are not, of course, all that numerous, obviously. Maybe it's not obvious, but it's true. I mean, there are always going to be better examples or some that are better than others. But there are a great number of examples that we will, of which a few of which we will examine. Now, today's proverb is from Proverbs 17. And 17 and, well, you can take your pick, 9 or 10. The one covering over transgression is seeking love, and he that keeps talking about a matter is separating those familiar with one another. In verse 10, a rebuke works deeper in one having understanding than striking a stupid one 100 times. Today's Exodus reading from Exodus 6. I almost said Genesis again. So Jehovah said to Moses, "Now you will see what I shall do to Pharaoh, because on account of a strong hand he will send them away. And on account of a strong hand he will drive them out of his land." And God went on to speak to Moses and to say to him, "I am Jehovah, and I used to appear to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. But as respects my name Jehovah, I did not make myself known to them. And I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their alien residences in which they resided as aliens. And I, even I, have heard the groaning of the sons of Israel, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I remember my covenant." During these readings, my own face appears in the upper right of this frame. "Therefore, say to the sons of Israel," it's a video capture of my face using my iPhone 6S cam. "Therefore, say to the sons of Israel, I am Jehovah, and I shall certainly bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians and deliver you from their slavery. And I shall indeed reclaim you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. And I shall certainly take you to me as a people, and I shall indeed prove to be God to you, and you will certainly know that I am Jehovah your God, who is bringing you out from under the burdens of Egypt. And I shall certainly bring you into the land that I raised my hand in an oath to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I shall indeed give it to you as something to possess. I am Jehovah." Afterward, Moses spoke to this effect to the sons of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses out of discouragement and for the hard slavery. Then Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, "Go in, speak to Pharaoh, Egypt's king, that he should send the sons of Israel away out of his land." However, Moses spoke before Jehovah, saying, "Look, the sons of Israel have not listened to me. And how will Pharaoh ever listen to me, as I am uncircumcised in lips?" But Jehovah continued to speak to Moses and Aaron and to issue the command by them to the sons of Israel and to Pharaoh, Egypt's king, in order to bring the sons of Israel out from the land of Egypt. These are the heads of the house of their fathers. The sons of Reuben, Israel's firstborn, were Hanok and Palu, Hezron and Carmi. These are the families of Reuben. And the sons of Simeon were Jemuel and Jamin and Ohad, and Jachin, and Zohar, and Sheul, the son of a Canaanite woman. These are the families of Simeon. These are the names of the sons of Levi, according to their family descent, Gershon, and Kohath, and Merari. And the years of Levi's life were 137 years. The sons of Gershon were Libni and Shimei, according to their families. And the sons of Kohath were Amram and Izhar and Hebron and Uziel. And the years of Kohath's life were 133 years. And the sons of Merari were Mahli and Mushi. These were the families of the Levites according to their family descents. Now Amram took Jochebed, his father's sister, as his wife. Later she bore him Aaron and Moses. And the years of Amram's life were 137 years. And the sons of Izhar were Korah and Nepheg and Zikri. And the sons of Uziel were Mishael and Elzaphan and Sithri. Now Aaron took Elisheba, Aminadab's daughter, the sister of Nashon, as his wife. Later she bore him Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. And the sons of Korah were Asir and Elkanah and Abiasaph. These were the families of the Korahites. Aaron was, of course, a Levite, as we saw, right? And as Moses was, too. And Eleazar, Aaron's son, took for himself one of the daughters of Putiel as his wife. later, she bore him Phinehas. These are the heads of the fathers of the Levites according to their families. This, I'm just waiting for the noise of the machinery outside to quiet down a bit. This is the Aaron and Moses to whom Jehovah said, bring the sons of Israel out from the land of Egypt according to their armies. They were the ones speaking to Pharaoh, Egypt's king, to bring the sons of Israel out from Egypt. This is the Moses and Aaron. And it came about on the day that Jehovah spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt that Jehovah went on to speak to Moses, saying, I am Jehovah. Speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I am speaking to you. Then Moses said before Jehovah, look, I am uncircumcised in lips, so how will Pharaoh ever listen to me? And that's the end of Exodus chapter 6. Little children, I hope you enjoyed that. Have a wonderful day. That's the end of our study for today. We have, of course, quite a bit more to do in the book of Exodus, and I look forward to doing that. Praise Jehovah. May God bless you, and thank you for listening, watching. And what can we say today? What should we say about our Lord? There are so many things about Jesus that we can say that we don't often enough consider and think about. Well, he was a man acquainted with sickness. The Messiah was to be a man acquainted with sickness, from the book of Isaiah. Is that from 54? Sickness. I don't believe the word acquainted would appear many times in the Bible. So if I search for that one word. No. Oh, it said. That's right. It's put in the way that acquaintance with sickness. Acquaintance. Having acquaintance with sickness. Isaiah 53 and 3. About the Messiah, he was despised and was avoided by men, a man meant for pains and for having acquaintance with sickness. There's more to that verse, too. The other thing, though, you know what we could do today? I was going to do that and I forgot. How much time have we got? We're already up to 27 minutes. Well, we can start another book today if we want. See, what can we do? Let's look at the Bible for a moment. Let's see. Well, there's the book of 3 John. Have we done that? Let's do the book of 3 John. The older man to Gaius, the beloved, whom I truly love. Beloved one, I pray that in all things you may be prospering and having good health, just as your soul is prospering. For I rejoiced very much when brothers came and bore witness to the truth you hold, just as you go on walking in the truth. No greater cause for thankfulness do I have than these things, that I should be hearing that my children go on walking in the truth. Beloved one, you are doing a faithful work in whatever you do for the brothers, and strangers at that, who have borne witness to your love before the congregation. These you will please send on their way in a manner worthy of God, for it was in behalf of his name that they went forth, not taking anything from the people of the nations. We therefore are under obligation to receive such persons hospitably, that we may become fellow workers in the truth. I wrote something to the congregation, but Diotrephes, who likes to have the first place among them, does not receive anything from us with respect. That is why, if I come, I will call to remembrance his works which he goes on doing, chattering about us with wicked words. Also, not being content with these things, neither does he himself receive the brothers with respect. And those who are wanting to receive them, he tries to hinder and to throw out of the congregation. Beloved one, be an imitator, not of what is bad, but of what is good. He that does good originates with God. He that does bad has not seen God. Demetrius has had witness borne to him by them all and by the truth itself. In fact, we also are bearing witness, and you know that the witness we give is true. I had many things to write you, yet I do not wish to go on writing you with ink and pen. But I am hoping to see you directly, and we shall speak face to face. May you have peace. The friends send you their greetings. Give my greetings to the friends by name. Right. Well, that reminds me. We could look at if I look at the videos on the website, we have a video by Brother Flo Dean, and then there's the organizational accomplishments, which is done by Brother Bro and Brothers Heard and Flegel, and also we have the governing body update by Brother Winder, and we've got Brother LaFranca and Brother Hyatt, each with their own talks, and then we have organizational accomplishments as well, which is the most recent one. It just came out, which is there was one other organizational accomplishment too. Let's just see what I can do here. Let's see what I can do. Oh, it's already there. I've got it right there. Yeah. That one, which I just watched a moment ago, or a few moments ago, actually, now, because we've been doing our study. It is about the blind, that video. And it's quite impressive, all the publications that are being produced to assist the blind by Jehovah's organization these days. There we are, yeah. It's good, okay. Right. I've got it's got subtitles. You can turn off the subtitles if you don't want them. But this, all of the videos now on JW.org have subtitles automatically turned on. It's Brother Vanselm, right, who is hosting that particular video. And so that's all that it's a very interesting video about how Braille is used and how Braille can be in more than one language. And there is a publication teaching Braille, helping the blind to learn Braille as well. And it's in multiple languages, and the publications are in the organization's publications are in more languages than this book about how to learn Braille, which is being produced also in a number of languages. But I'd say there are tens of languages for the publications in Braille. So Braille has languages. That's what I learned. Today, and that's what you will learn if you watch that video, and more things than that too, you will learn about how how normal videos can be enhanced or provided with descriptions as well in order to assist those who are blind to understand the pictorial elements. So, I love you very much. Have a great day and seek first the kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Remember, Jesus was well acquainted with sickness. And for Ward Green, it is, there I have it. I'm looking at my monitor there. There it is. What is it? It is, this is Phoebe. Talk Phoebe. And Live Dusty. And it's April 24th, 2023, 15:36 hours. And Talk Phoebe and Live Dusty are saying bye for now.